Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Well, sober now.
It was pretty. Was it a good weekend? Good whiskey weekend?
It was the best of the whiskey weekends. Oh, we've done it 16 times. It was the best one. Yeah,
have you ever thought of making it the last? Because our Sunburn Bowl was the best ever. And I have said, you know, be a good one to go out on. People do not want to hear that.
No, that's not what they want to hear right in that moment. No chance. Oh, man. I know. You can't do that. Talk about buzzkill.
All right. Stand by for theme.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, beauty, go. Okay. Good day. Welcome to our single. I'm Bob McKenzie, and this is my brother, Doug. How's it going, eh?
All right, Charge. It is a warm Wednesday in Minnesota. You liking the 70-some degrees? What did it get up to in the Twin Cities yesterday?
62 on Monday, and then Tuesday it rocketed down. Can you rock it down?
Yes, you can rock it down. You can plummet.
Okay. All right, plummet. But plummeted down to about 40 degrees with a 30-mile-an-hour wind. So we're back down to, like, you know, 22 degrees wind chill.
And isn't there snow coming?
No, there is not. And we're going to be back in the six. Well, potentially, I take that back. Potentially a little bit tomorrow. But get this, weekend, 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is the best winter of my adult life, Zabe. Oh,
this is a winter even Minnesotans can get behind. Of course, an entire economy will be wrecked up there because of no snow.
Absolutely. Yeah, devastating to the, you know, snowmobiles and ice houses and everything that, you know, everything that trickles down from that, which is a lot. I mean, it's big business here and seasonal business. They got to make all their money in like 3 months, 4 months, right? And to lose all of that, all of it, all gone, is it's really tough on those industries.
Yeah. Wisconsin.
But don't care.
Milwaukee got to 75. That is a new February record for the good land. I am here in Arizona this week, so I don't care about any of this. It is an impossibly awesome 72 and sunny right now. And of course, I'm under the weather, as maybe you can tell by my voice. And so therefore, I've been spending way too many hours indoors. And who knows if this is the last podcast of the week. I'm hoping I just kiss the bottom of whatever this illness is, and then I rebound quickly. But we'll see. We'll see.
The beauty of your illnesses is your voice gets so sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, a little extra gravelly. Hey, yeah, baby. All right. Of all the things I thought would happen in this podcast, an involuntary erection is not one of them.
Stop it. They're going to start rumors about us, Church.
Bring it on.
No, don't bring it on. I don't want those rumors. Okay. Whiskey weekend, Roman numeral what?
XVI.
Okay, so 16.
XVI, 16. 16 in the books. I mean, this is like, you know, now we're at a stage where half my adult life I've been going to and attending whiskey weekends, have not missed any of them for any reason. I will do whatever it takes.
Tell people what it is, who started it, and how it works.
Myself and about then only about six friends started it. And the very first one was just gaming and bring a bottle of whiskey that you like. That was it.
And you guys retreated to a resort north of the Twin Cities.
Yes, we go to central Minnesota. No girls, no phones. You know, just really no unplug phones from the day to day life. Well, they're, you know, depending on the cabin we're at, sometimes, you know, we went to one where we had no phone service. In year number one, year two, we flipped over to a spot where we had it. But you know, the beauty of it, people really do. They, by and large, they disconnect from their phones and you just get away in a way that you don't otherwise do it. For us, it's Thursday through Monday morning. We leave checkout Monday morning. So it's half a day Thursday. It's all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And everybody brings a bottle of whiskey that has never been brought before. And then at the top of every hour, beginning at noon and going as late as we can hang on, you do an A-B blind taste test between two whiskeys that you do not know what you're drinking. And so it takes out, Zabe, the marketing, the bottle, the, you know, everything you think you know about that brand. It's all just the taste. And we went through, we had 12 bottles in the competition. We brought four others for sipping. That's 16 bottles. Okay. We had 12 guys.
Hold on. Before this gets too far down the field, I've got questions popping up left and right. I've got to deal with them. Every hour on the hour, starting at what hour do you sample an AB?
Noon.
Starting at noon. And how many ounces in each sample AB?
They're about a half shot. About a half shot each, maybe a little less. I don't think you're getting a full shot, but pretty close to that. So
every hour at noon until when?
Until it just, you know, until we're going to bed. So usually that's 1-2 in the morning.
How drunk are you by the time the evening comes?
You know,
or is it just a good steady buzz?
Yeah, it's more that. Okay. It's more that for our group. You know, we had one guy that was we had one guy that was so bad we had to uninvite him. And over the years.
Was he a guy that would insist, like some people get swallowed up by the bourbon monster and they will want more bourbon between the tastings? They won't be able to wait.
Oh, we do that too. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that. Let me be clear.
Oh,
that
my
happens.
God. Well, how can you accurately judge then once you're good and schnockered?
Well, you know, you can still tell which one you prefer.
That's
still
true.
Have some
That's
sense
true.
Of taste and smell and yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So we had one guy that got so out of control that he just turned into an ass. And we went through 2 years of him getting real loud and talking about dumb stuff and just doing drunk guy stuff that's beyond the regular drunk guy stuff. So we just ended it.
Did he have a friend who vouched for him?
We did. It was a friend of a friend.
And did the friend apologize or try to defend his buddy?
No, he knew.
And did
he knew it had to end too.
Okay, and so how do you uninvite the guy? I'm curious. Just not say you're invited, or did you have to say, look, you're out, Todd. Let's just call him Todd for what he is, Todd.
I made the friend of the friend deliver that message. Like, you know, because look, you vouched for him.
Yeah.
You said he should come.
Tell your buddy Todd he's out this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he is not invited this year. And then we had one other guy who would get ripped every single night, and then later, really, he had to go clean. So we've got one guy who's a recovering alcoholic that's in our group.
Does he still go?
Impressively, he does. Wow. And it is...
How does he do?
It's a real testament. It's a testament. He leaves the room at the top of every hour. So he's not part of that, because I think that's kind of a triggering event when 11 other guys are all, you know, sipping and talking about it and breaking down and making their case for each one. You're like, no, yeah, look, B's got the big profile. Can you taste the caramel in there?
Yeah.
This is so good.
Getting all nerdy and everything else. Yeah. Does he go out back, lean against the wall, prop one foot against the wall, Ben Affleck style, and then burn a cigarette like that meme? Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. So the thing that blows me away is you've been doing this for 16 years, bringing 12 guys a year for the better part of this run, right? So 12 times 16, new bottle that's never been brought. That's a lot of different styles and brands of whiskey.
It's a lot. You know, I'm looking at the list now, we're 140 in, I don't know, something like that, bottles in, but there's always new stuff hitting the market all the time. You know, at this time last year, if you wanted a toasted bourbon, you had about two options. Now you've got about 20. So, you know, there's always stuff that's hitting the market. You can always find new things. So
all right.
It has not been a problem.
So what won this year?
You want to go right to number one?
Well,
let me give you number two. Let me give you the runner-up first.
The
runner-up's got a pretty good story. Not finishing second was, and if the first bourbon is unable to fulfill the obligations of bourbon number one, then bourbon number two, it will step
like Miss
up
America.
And assume the crown.
Jesus. Okay.
Yes. Bourbon number two is Jefferson Ocean.
Oh.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes. Jefferson Ocean. Jefferson's apostrophe, I believe. Ocean is a bourbon that is aged at sea, where they put the barrels onto a boat and then they let the sea air help mix in with the wood in the portable rickhouse in the bow of the ship, and it supposedly gives the bourbon an extra delicious flavor.
I expect first, I thought the whole ocean thing was a gimmick, and I had never bought it, and
like
I had never tried it.
Sounds like the biggest scam going ever.
Exactly. I'm like, this is not legit.
Right.
And then the other worry I had was, is it going to be salty? I mean, I know obviously it's sealed, but I mean, the whole point is for it to be getting sea air.
Yeah.
And anybody who's been at sea knows you can smell the difference.
Yeah.
So I was worried it was going to be fishy or salty or whatever. But which would be the worst,
It has a hint of cod to the taste. I don't particularly care for that.
Yes, it's distinctly herring. It really wasn't. And it ended up being a legitimately good tasting bourbon. Now it's like a $90 bottle, and that's the gimmick. Gimmick, I think, gets them
expensive
to a whole different price point.
They have to load the shit onto an old boat and float it around a while, or claim to at least. I would want to see a video of my particular barrel being taken out to this boat. In fact, as soon as we're done, I'm gonna Google, is there a video of the people who do Jefferson's Ocean showing us the boat and how they do it and everything else?
Yeah, you want to believe it's on some boat that's been built just for this purpose. But I get the feeling it's probably in the cargo hold of some rusting ship that they don't have anything better to do with the ships. They're like, fine, we'll just take your bourbon and drive it around the ocean.
It's got a bunch of Toyotas on top in cargo containers. They're just sending it back and forth to Japan for a couple months or whatever. Okay, that's number two. What's number one?
Number one, it ended up being Bowman Brothers Small Batch.
Whoa, that's a Texas whiskey, is it not?
It is not. It is a Virginia whiskey. But let me hear, it's a quasi-Virginia whiskey, which you should know. What they do is, apparently, I didn't know this until we posted the winner. And people were informing me about this. They buy Buffalo Trace. They buy whiskey from Buffalo Trace, and then when it's still young, and then they age it in Virginia themselves, and then pop the seal and they bottle it. So you're getting a both Kentucky and Virginia experience with Bowman Brothers.
Unbelievable! Why? Whereabouts in Virginia? I might have to go visit their operation, see how it's running.
You know, you might want to. I mean, it was a worthy winner, Zabe. And there've been a lot of them that I have not been crazy about. This Bowman Brothers was good. It was smooth. It was warm. Very. It was not particularly challenging. I got a lot of vanilla, a little spicy in it. I really liked it. And they have tours available hourly. And they are located, I don't know. I don't know where they're located. All I know is that they're in Virginia.
That doesn't matter. Virginia's a big state with a lot of nooks and crannies. Okay, watch this, kids. And, Charge, how was the scotch tasting this weekend?
Nobody was brave enough to bring any scotch. One person dumb enough to bring a rye, and it finished dead last.
Fuck ryes. I'm with you on that, man. I don't like ryes.
I don't either. They're almost sour. It's just not my thing. And God bless people who love their ryes.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. And nobody brought a scotch, which is always a good idea.
Right. Because you think scotch tastes like moss, like dirt.
Underwear.
Underwear. Why would you know what dirty underwear smells like or tastes like? Don't answer that question. All right, good. All right, so here's your exit question on this. What listeners, what nerdy-ass weekends do you participate in that might rival Charge's Whiskey Weekend? I want to hear from similar weekends. I love what you do, Charge. Congratulations. My lifelong goal is to someday attend Whiskey Weekend and secretly have a VPN for my phone and a satellite on the roof where I can retire at night and get my internet fix and then be kicked out of the club for cheating.
Which probably would happen. Can I tell you about the game we played that rocked Whiskey Weekend?
Yeah.
It's called Blood on the Clock Tower. And here's how it works. One person administers the game. Everybody else is sitting in a circle around that person. And everybody has a role. This is super nerdy. Just deal with it. Everybody's got a role, Zabe, of either being a person in a little village, town folk, or one of the people that are trying to kill the villagers. You all have a role that helps you identify, and you don't know who anybody else's roles are. So you've got your own role, and you know who you are. So you might be the librarian, or you might be the mayor, or you might be the town crier.
Is this a board game?
No, this is not a board game. There's no board. There's no pieces. There's no dice.
It's an improvisational game. Okay.
Yes, it's exactly right. So out of our group of, we had, when we were playing this, we had 11. And we had three bad people who were mixed in, and the other eight townsfolk are trying, and you only know your own role. So it's eight.
How do you determine the roles? You must draw cards for that.
Yeah, you draw tokens. Okay, tokens, and it's got your role and explains what you can do. Like one person says, you can identify whether the person sitting to your left or your right is evil. Then the game works in a day night pattern. At the end of every day, the townsfolk vote to kill somebody. Everybody votes to kill somebody. And you're trying to not kill all the townspeople. You're trying to kill the bad guys, and you're trying to suss out who the bad guys are based on the everybody's just got a little limited piece of information, trying to keep all that together, and the bad guys have all got ways to mess everybody up so that they can't figure it out. And it was unbelievable. People had so much fun with this, lying to each other's faces, trying to suss out who the bad guys are. And it was, I've never seen.
And you're doing this all hammered.
Yeah. Or at least we started playing at 11 at night.
Inebriation.
We started at 11. We finished it between 2 and 3 every night playing this game. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
On the clock tower.
Okay. There you go. There was a scene in the office where they did a similar like role play called Murder. I don't know if you ever saw that, but
no, anyway. I don't think I did.
All right. Let's pivot to NFL news. Combine has spooled up. A lot of the principal GMs, coaches, and other personnel have spoken on Tuesday. The actual underwear Olympics begins on Thursday. A number of key players will not throw, will not run. Some others will throw and will run. And the actual predictive value of this exercise in determining which guys can play on Sundays not only is nil, it's negative nil, if you ask me. More mistakes are made by paying any attention to the combine, I contend, than are positive things where we found a guy and this is where we found our steal at the combine. People make mistakes at the combine because they fall in love. Do you know one of the reasons why Wilson, the MILF hunter for the Jets, Zach Wilson, went so high and why everyone was in love with him? A single throw he made at the combine. Do you remember it?
I don't.
Okay, so at the combine, he's doing his throwing. And it's just two guys, him and a receiver. They're in shorts, by the way. I always make sure to ask people on radio. Mm-hmm. So when are the games in shorts this year? Because, I mean, I don't know what I'm looking at here. Are we playing any shorts games this year? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. So he makes a throw as he's rolling out to his left, where he then spins his hips and unleashes an absolute missile. And people just swooned. They fell in love. Johnny Manziel snowed the Browns and would have snowed some other team shortly after them because they were writing. I remember this from Peter King and others. He looked like he was in control. He shook every hand of the Browns organization. They looked him in the eye and they fell in love with him over a bullshit weekend where he'd been coached up. He was a cokehead.
Yes. And you'll remember if you saw the documentary, he left early to avoid the drug test because he couldn't pass it.
Exactly.
So his dad went to the hospital for heart issues, and he had to leave the combine early also he could avoid the drug test.
So the predictive value of is this going to help teams is not just zero, it's less than zero. You'll make
more mistakes paying attention to it.
You're probably still a bit of a truther. Like, I think you can get something out of it.
Yep, I do. I think you can identify the two ends of the spectrum. If there is a big problem with somebody, and if like a problem emotionally or mentally or whatever, that might come through in the interviews. If there's somebody who's really, really slow or has, you know, a major athletic problem that's going to show up that you care about, you know, this is your chance to get ahead of it. And you know, the other end of the curve too, if somebody's, you know, wow, you know, we haven't seen this running back, you know, I don't know, run a 4.4 yet. And now he can run a 4.4. We thought he was a 4.8 guy, but wow, this does change some of our thoughts about how we could use him, whatever. I think tip of the spear stuff on either end can come to light here. And I think that part helps. But a lot of the combine is really just for talking business. It's getting all these teams together and all the GMs together, all the agents together, all the rookies together.
I didn't say that it was worthless, the whole endeavor. I didn't say don't do it. I said it's predictive value on the future of players on Sunday. That's what's negative of value. It'll fool you into making mistakes more than it reveals who can actually play. Yes, it is worth it to get together and to talk to other people and other teams and whatnot. It's great for us in the media. Gives us something to talk about, right, to kick off the NFL offseason. So I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just saying don't think you're going to actually discover something at the combine. I say the only thing you need is height, weight, and medicals. Height, weight, and medicals. Everything else, you're going to overthink it, in my opinion. Now, when it comes to the overall, you know, vibe of the combine, it is funny that certain guys don't throw because they feel like it can only hurt them. The top three quarterbacks have all said we're not throwing. That would be Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. The next three guys, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix, they're like, yeah, we'll throw because they know they might be able to fool some teams with throwing into the top three.
Yes, which they might do, right? So the top three guys have nowhere to go but down.
Right.
So they're doing exactly what they should do. Whereas J.J. McCarthy could turn a second round into a first round and, you know, an extra $10 million in his pocket.
Yeah.
You know, that's real, you know, that's real money. So yeah, should you go throw? Sure. And you really get two cracks at it. Not only do you get the combine,
pro day,
but then you get your pro day as well to prove that anything that looked bad at the combine, you've ironed out since once the pro day rolls around.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what shakes out. I did see a video purporting to show Drake May throw the ball 80 yards off the crossbar.
What?
80 in the air. And I said, I don't think that's possible. 80.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't think anybody's done that.
Yeah.
I don't think that is possible.
I think that's a BS internet fake viral video. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the Broncos really did Russell Wilson dirty? He went on the I Am Athlete podcast with one Brandon Marshall and said, look, here's how it went down. We had just beaten Kansas City. We had just beaten Green Bay. I thought things were going well. And they're like, okay, if you don't give up your injury guarantee, we're going to bench you for 9 games. The last 9 games.
Nine games.
Anyway, 9 times, as you like to say on Fantasy Football Weekly. He says, I was like, what? And, you know, of course, everyone got involved. And he said, Russell Wilson, he goes, I did not want to set the precedent for giving this stuff back. And I'm like, good for you. Somebody else pointed out that, hey, remember when Sean Payton was yelling at Russell Wilson over just the most basic of sort of miscommunications on the field when he would come off on third down at the sidelines? It was because they were trying to taunt Russell Wilson into blowing up so they could suspend him for conduct detrimental, and then they could void his contract.
Oh, dirty. Unbelievable.
Dirty.
And how about this for Russ? He played legitimately good ball down from that Kansas City game forward. Dude played really, really well.
Yeah, he was a pro about it.
Despite this over his head.
Yeah, he said no, and he stayed as a pro. I have respect for him now. I know he's a fucking phony. I get that. And I think he's a bit of a goofball. But after this episode, I'm impressed. Now, it does point out just how dirty the league is. And they will not only structure the league in a way, which they have, in which certain positions like running back, you wanted to talk about this. I mentioned it yesterday here on the pod. Running backs have no chance. They have no chance anymore to get paid. It's completely a joke because of these mandatory minimum length contracts coming into the league. So they're screwed. And then when they don't have the system worked out to screw certain position groups, they'll just try whatever they can get away with and let the union or the courts or the league say, hey, you can't do that. That's actually illegal, asking a player to give up his injury.
Yes, right.
But it doesn't hurt to try, right? Because they're scumbags.
I know the NFLPA got involved with Russell as well. It's like, you can't do this. You know, it's going to unravel. You know, it would have gone crazy. If this had worked, it would have blown up so many deals.
Oh yeah.
And you know, Russ ends up taking a bullet for the rest of the league in some ways. Now he's made a lot of money in his career, so easier for him to do it than a lot of other people. But you know, now Russ is looking at, is he even a starting quarterback next year? I mean, you know, he went from a spot where he was paid and thought he was going to be Denver's quarterback. He was under contract till 2028, for Pete's sake. So, you know, he thought this was going to be the big final stop for him in Denver, and he was going to play a bunch more years. And now we're going to roll into 2024, 5 years earlier than expected. And he might be, I don't know, the Panthers starting quarterback or whatever. So,
I think he's, I think he's in Derek Carr land right now, where like Derek Carr was, he's good, man. I think he just needs a fresh start kind of thing. You know, a veteran who was kind of really sort of good, and now he's 33, 34, 35, and you think you could squeeze some stuff out of him. He's Ryan Tannehill now.
Yeah, that's probably a
good
analogy.
Is that a better comp right there?
Yeah, I like it without the turnovers. We want to, do you want to guess how much Russell Wilson's made in his career?
Oh, $200
million?
$266.
And if he gets through the, if he were to make all the dollars left on his current contract, which he's not going to now, that would have brought him to $477 million, $500 million.
Jesus, that's that's unbelievable right there.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's FITBOD.ME/Zabe.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place by working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
All right, let's pivot off of sports to a couple stories. Wendy's. Apparently not happy with being in fourth place in the fast food race. They want to be even further down the list. So they've introduced the most insanely dumb idea ever that is getting roasted as it's being learned about. Surge pricing for their food. So in other words, your Wendy's Baconator may cost as much as a dollar more if you have the nerve, Charge, to go to the Wendy's and order it during, say, lunch.
Lunch? You know when God forbid you want to eat at lunchtime. Right. Exactly. Amazing to think that you can walk into the restaurant with no idea if the price that you paid yesterday for your food is going to be the same. It's like every time you show up, you're going through the drive-thru. It's like hitting a slot machine.
Yeah.
Am I going to pay more? Am I going to pay less? Who knows?
You know, I'd like to go to Wendy's, but I don't know if I have enough money.
Right. That's right. I don't know if I can afford this trip. And imagine it is lunchtime. And you get in that drive-thru line. And a lot of drive-thrus, physically impossible to get out of until
you're
pinned
in
all the way up to the window. You're pinned in. So you wait in line, 6-7 cars, just to get to the digital menu.
Right.
And then you get to the digital menu, and you're like, what the hell? $8.99 for the Baconator? Screw that. I'm out. Well, now you're sitting. You've already waited, you know, you've already been in line for 7 minutes. Now you got to wait 7 more minutes to get get out of line, and now you got no food.
Yeah, it's an insane idea that I think is probably going to get folded up and put away, because the PR blowback is going to be too big on this. And I think they'll find out, yeah, we thought we could gouge people for a little bit more money. Turns out that no, they're just going to not go to Wendy's.
Yes, I think that's exactly what it's going to do. And maybe there's some universe here where now we're talking about Wendy's. We never would have. There's no scenario we would have been talking about Wendy's today. So maybe all publicity is good publicity. But I don't think so here, because no. I think there's going to be a lot of people that just hear this story and are like, I'm not rolling the dice. If this is my Wendy's, I'm not rolling the dice to find out that my Baconator's $9. I'm out.
Right. Rest in peace, Apple Car. 16 years after Apple stood up a small division in the company to explore the idea of getting in the car manufacturing business, they have basically shuttered the division by laying off whoever is left in the auto department of Apple. The thought was, well, a electric car, much like a Tesla, it's mostly software. We're a great software company. How hard can it be? Well, 16 years later, I guess they figured that out. In conjunction, a number of automakers are quietly, Charge, backing away from electric vehicles, not bragging about it because, of course, the government has incentivized them to get into it. But these EVs are not selling, and they're slashing prices, and it is devastating bottom lines for certain companies. I believe that Audi just announced that they're pretty much going away from their EVs, going to stick to internal combustion. Your thoughts?
And Mercedes today too came out and said we're getting that. They didn't say they're getting out of the EV business. They've said they're going to dial it back
anymore.
If you look, I follow a great Twitter account called Car Dealership Guy.
Yeah, I do too.
And he's fantastic. And he talks frequently about the cars that are languishing the longest on car lots.
Mm-hmm.
It's all EVs.
Yeah.
It's virtually all EVs. The Hyundai Iconic is their average time on lot is like 90 days. It's all bad right now. The Ford truck, which is, in concept, I guess maybe there would have been a use for that if you worked, you have a lawn service where you are always within a 300-mile radius or whatever.
Right.
But just, fundamentally, truck people need all the things that combustion engines give us. So, and the other part of this that I find pretty interesting is Tesla's doing great. Tesla continues to sell very, very well.
Isn't that funny?
A lot of this is that people don't trust Hyundai to make a great EV yet.
Yeah, and I think people are also not trusting that they're pot committed. Tesla and Musk is pot committed to Tesla because that's their only car. And I think it's better as a car, but I don't know that because I'm not in the EV space. I just would never feel comfortable. There's two reasons why I've never really, even though I'm a gadget guy, and I think the Teslas are very slick, and I sit in one, I see the clean lines and the giant touchscreen, iPad that is your nerve center, and my inner gizmo tingly start firing off.
Mm-hmm.
But two reasons why I never got into it. One reason is I just don't trust myself to not leave myself out of battery. I just don't. Yep. I've gotten this whole thing down when it comes to cars and gas in the tank. I don't run out of gas. I know I would run out of juice with a Tesla. I would forget to charge it, think I could go somewhere, would find that the charging station was closed or there was a line. I'd be like, all right, fuck it. I don't have any time and I'll go somewhere else.
I think you're home enough and you just get ritualized and plugging in every time you get in the garage, right?
Yeah, but sometimes things happen. I don't know. The other reason why it never quite pushed me over the edge is it's not as quiet as I thought it would be on the inside for one simple reason. Road noise, tire noise is always going to be present. And today's modern internal combustion engine cars, they've isolated the engine noise so well and it's so quiet you don't even really hear the engine. All you hear is the road noise. So when I rode in a Tesla, I'm like, I thought it would be quieter. I thought it would be like floating on a cloud. It wasn't.
Yeah, and you know what, for the sake of us not running over pedestrians all the time, it's probably better that there is a little bit of road noise with those, right?
Yeah. Well, but inside, though, is my point.
Hear it coming.
Yeah, road noise on the outside, but internal road noise, you're still going to have that. So there you go. Mm-hmm. All right, last topic, and you put this out on Twitter. What's worse, people, Netflix canceling or removing content and or Netflix raising their monthly subscription price?
Unbelievable. They're raising prices again. I guess they seem to believe that people will simply either forget or they will pay anything and they just don't care. You know, they've already got their plan with ads, which I'm opposed to that. Personally, I don't think, you know, it's not what I want in my Netflix or a bunch of ads.
No, I'm not tolerating ads on a paid service. Period.
Hell no. Absolutely not. But you still, you know, but if you want to shave off a couple of bucks,
right,
you know, we'll jam you up with a bunch of ads and break the stride of your show. I can't imagine a world where people want to do that. But Netflix going back to the well again. What's the last great Netflix show?
I don't know because I don't consume Netflix created content unless it's sports. And that's not a humble brag. It's just, I don't do it. So I don't know. What was your favorite Netflix generated show?
Well, I think it's been since the last big, the last really big hit for Netflix. Probably was Stranger Things, the fourth season, which was, you know, now like 9 months ago.
Yeah.
They're just
people raved
great
about
content
Stranger
coming
Things.
Out.
Yeah.
They did. And although it got pretty tired by the fourth one.
Squid
so I'm not
Games?
Even suggesting that was great. Yeah, Squid Games had its moment.
Okay.
That Tiger King had its moment. But, you know, sustained
Bridgerton
greatness.
Season 1. The Queen's Gambit. These are a lot of repeats
shows.
Of seasons. Yeah. Let me find a better
and
list.
And a lot of these are older. A lot of these are older shows. You know,
so are you close to canceling?
Oh, I canceled a year ago. Haven't missed it.
Ah, all right.
Haven't missed it at all.
Where do you get your episodic television then, Mr. Charchian?
Around town.
Around town. I have my sources, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, around. Yeah.
Do you still subscribe to Hulu?
Never did.
Do you subscribe to Apple Plus?
I have a Apple Plus subscription, and I think Apple Plus is winning on content right now.
Well, that's the funniest thing is they have the smallest library. They have the fewest amount of assets, Apple Plus.
Right. So what Apple has done, and I think, bless them for doing it. They've decided we're doing fewer shows and we're going to do them well.
Okay.
And I think that's been a good model for them.
All right.
Rather than trying to do 1,000 shows and see what sticks.
Amazon Prime.
Well, yeah, I'm in.
You have it
at Amazon,
for,
but they got to. But now you have to.
Do you ever watch it though?
Yeah, from time to time.
Generally,
they have some really good shows
there.
That are under the radar.
Okay, all right. Let's see what else is there out there streaming. Oh, Paramount.
No.
Do you have the cock?
I'm not.
Peacock.
Nope. And I'm not doing Disney for a wide variety of reasons.
A wide variety of reasons, yes. But do you have Peacock?
No.
Well, that's hard because I have to have it because the Big Ten has partnered with Peacock to put a lot of games on, as we like to say, the cock. So tonight's Badger versus Hoosier game in basketball is on the cock. So we say,
do you not have,
you're getting
not
cocked like, tonight, Badger fans, if you want to watch the game. And so far, I've not been reprimanded on air on the radio for saying that, but I'm sure that day is coming.
Probably, yes.
It's just fun to be able to say it like, okay, it's on the cock tonight, so get on it.
Yeah, we're gonna snuggle up on the sofa with some cock.
Right, basically.
So I'm still on YouTube TV has done exactly to me what they wanted me to do. I signed up for football, right? I wanted the NFL Sunday ticket and I had to have the NFL Sunday ticket.
Right.
And now even though the season has been over, and into the playoffs, I didn't even need it, but I've still clung to it because there's been a few shows across all of the different channels on YouTube TV I want to watch, beginning with the one that's starting Tuesday night, tonight as we record this, last night as you hear this, Shogun has the chance to be amazing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Do you remember, are you old enough? This is from when I was very, very young, in the mid-70s when Shogun, 76. The original Shogun was massively big.
Wasn't David Carradine in that?
Maybe.
Do you remember David Carradine?
I do. Yeah, she's been in a million things. I mean, his IMDb like goes on. It's like an encyclopedia. It was 1980 was the original one. It was Richard Chamberlain. Richard Chamberlain was the English guy in the, this is like the 1700s that makes like first contact with Japan. And it's still like samurais in Japan back then. And he's the unwashed heathen white man who comes to Japan.
Interesting.
In those days with they don't respect him and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It doesn't look like he was in Shogun. He was in Carradine was in Kill Bill volumes 1 and 2, along with Kung Fu, The Long Riders, Bound for Glory, Mean Streets, Americana, and The Last Stand at Saber River. So those are some David Carradine vehicles right there. Okay, are you aware of Tubi and all the free good vintage content they have?
Yes, my wife and I are now 9 seasons in on Columbo on Tubi.
Yes. See, that's the thing. There's so many old shows you can binge and both laugh at and also kind of enjoy for the vintage television production.
Absolutely. And that's part of the fun of it. And it brings you back all the to your old youth. Clothes and fashion. Right. And and in the case of Columbo, these episodes are long. They're basically movies. They're hour and a half.
Columbo's
long.
An hour and a half each.
Yes.
Son of a gun.
I know. And Columbo's uniquely pretty cool in that you see, Columbo usually doesn't even appear until the 1/3 mark of the show. You're a half hour in. You don't even see Columbo.
Yeah.
You get to watch the murder go down and all the things leading up to the murder. And then somebody gets killed. And then here comes Columbo at about the 30-minute mark. And you know who did it. So it's not a whodunit. It's a Willie figured out, which he always does.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Church, as always, my friend, great run. Congratulations on another Cracker Jack whiskey weekend. And from here, we're going to get to spring, but we're already getting tastes of it from Mother Nature.
So good.
All right, buddy.
So good.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, bud.
Bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye.
Beauty, eh?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay,
everyone. This record was my idea.
Get out.
It was.
You're lying.
Pete Hosehead here just sort of rid on my coattails.
Why are you doing this?
It was our idea together, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
okay. We agreed to say that, but take off.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.